All right, so we haven't done a podcast lately because with my travel schedule, traveling across Japan, it just hasn't worked out that well. We just haven't had time really. So you're going to have to stretch your mind way back because the last thing we watched, do you remember that cartoon, The Ping Pong Club, with the smelly American guy?
Oh, yes.
So that was just because I've had such a hard time. Not just in Japan, but in South Korea as well. Just trying to find deodorant, in Asia was a whole to-do. So yeah, we watched Ping Pong Club, classic animation from the 90s, just ridiculous, offensive jokes, but it's a pretty good show. But I saw some people comment on Ping Pong Club. They're like, "What the heck is this? This isn't what I thought I was looking for." So I researched a little, and there's another show called Ping Pong the Animation, based on a manga just called Ping Pong, which it even says on the Wikipedia entry, not to be confused with the comedy anime series, The Ping Pong Club. So I was like, what the hell is this thing? Just some boring ass show about ping pong? And I looked into it, and it's actually from the same era. The manga came out in 1996 and 1997, and then it was adapted into a cartoon that won some awards as one of the best shows of the 2010s, I guess is when it came out. And but I still kind of figured, like, well, we watched the funny one, we watched the good one. Why would I watch this one? But I checked it out, and even just watching a quick clip, it really stood out because you know how obviously Japanese animation, it has a very distinct style, right? Like they switch a little here and there, but you never would be confused. It's like, oh, I'm not sure, is that from Japan or not? Like, obviously it's from Japan. They always draw in that same style. It's very uncommon when they don't. So that's all I know about this show is that it looks different. It doesn't look like a normal Japanese cartoon. It looks super cool. It actually looks really rad.
And that was my first thing that came to mind. Is it Japanese or is it American? Is it European? What is it?
Yeah, no, it is Japanese. And like I said, both series came out around the same time in the mid 90s. One guy was taking ping pong presumably more seriously. One guy, why is it even about ping pong? It's not. It's about a teacher tying you up and sticking a carrot in your butt. So, from what I can tell, again, I really don't know anything about this show. It's just it's well regarded. It won awards. Presumably, it's actually about ping pong. But yeah, I wasn't gonna. I was like, but why would we watch the quote unquote boring one? But it literally won me over just by looking at it briefly. I was like, this actually looks cool. I actually want to know what this is. So yeah, I don't have any facts to tell you. All I can tell you is it's a popular thing that did, if anything, it's probably much more popular than the Ping Pong Club we watched.
Okay. Another question. Why ping pong? Is ping pong a big deal in Japan, like baseball and football in the US of A, soccer in Britain? Is ping pong a big deal over there? Like, is that their national sport or?
I have no experience with ping pong stuff in Japan besides ping pong clubs, so I do not know. I did actually just today though, I saw a bunch of people playing baseball, two baseball fields back to back. Baseball is actually huge here. But I just did a quick search. Is ping pong big in Japan? Key takeaway, table tennis, also known as ping pong, has become a popular sport in Japan. It was introduced to Japan in the late 19th century. And the Japan Table Tennis Association, the JTTA, was established in 1926, which played a significant role in the growth and development of table tennis in Japan. And this is from an article called Table Tennis in Japan: The Rise of Ping Pong as a Popular Sport. So, can't argue with that.
Okay. Well, there.
I guess the only thing I've run into myself is there was a lot of tennis in Yokohama and a tennis museum, but I don't think that's common in Japan. I think that's because of all those hoity-toity foreigners who lived in Yokohama, with all their fancy Spanish-style houses. I think they're the ones who brought proper full-size tennis to Japan. But I mean, I guess it makes sense too, just when everything has to be. I was just showing you my latest little apartment here in Japan that I'm renting my Airbnb in, the tiny little kitchen and the tiny little stove and the tiny little everything. I can't even sit properly in the washroom because my legs don't fit. It makes sense, maybe. Just, little ping pong paddles and some balls. And there you go. You're all set.
Right. Tiny little tennis.
Yeah, you don't have to have a football field or even a soccer field. Actually, what's bigger, a football field or a soccer field? Who cares? That's a different topic. So again, this is just going to be a quick little easy one because I don't really know anything about this show. I don't have any facts or anything to tell you. I just thought we'd watch it because we watched the other one. Let's watch the other side of the coin, the serious ping pong show, and see how it is.
Absolutely. Sounds like an idea. Try not to make comparisons.
Yeah, I think it does seem like despite the fact that they have almost the same name, I feel like there's going to be zero things, you know, to relate these two shows, including ping pong.
So, even though I had zipped up, my fly was still wide open. He tried telling me, but I was all, shut up, bro, I'm talking to this girl. So I totally ignored him.
Well, I'd like to watch the second one now that the Chinese people are in there. It's a little more exciting.
I mean, if you want to. I don't want to. I wasn't even paying attention. I thought that show was super boring. Super boring. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I've seen too many of these types of shows, though. Like you could transpose this onto anything. Like, it doesn't matter that it's about ping pong at all. This could be a martial arts tournament. But it could also be about people playing Go. It could be about people baking bread. Like, this is all completely by the numbers. Like, I've just seen a million shows like this. I still like the art style. I like the art style a lot. But I feel like that turned out exactly as I feared that it would. It's just the extremely dry, extremely boring version of Ping Pong Club.
I think it's operating on a deeper level. I should say it could be anything. It doesn't have to be ping pong. Could be anything. And I think it's more like a political statement as to the animosity between one country and another country. You could go that far down on it. Because they're obviously setting this up for how evil the Chinese are.
Although it is funny, too, that the guy who's super amazing at ping pong is from China. Because, I mean, I didn't know about it as a Japanese thing, but I definitely have heard of that as, like, a Chinese stereotype of, like, oh, yeah, ping pong, all about it. The Chinese ping pong team is always going to win. But, I mean, yeah, I'm glad you're getting more out of it. I'm glad you're paying attention because, I don't know, man, my eyes just glazed over. I was like, I think this is why I don't watch a lot of anime anymore, though. Like, I would have liked this when I was a teenager. But nowadays, this is why I look for the extremes, you know, like either Ping Pong Club with its extreme comedy or Eurocamp with its extreme calmness. These middle-of-the-road shows, like, I just can't even focus. My brain just does not care. But yeah, if you want to check out episode 2, let's give it one more try.
Okay. I mean, I find it's very interesting that they, like you say, it was because you didn't do the subtitle thing for the Chinese, but I don't think you need that. I mean, you can get the whole image of what the Chinese portion of it is just by the facial expressions and the action and the occasional translation that the translator gives us to further the plot. We don't need all those words from the Chinese guy about how I'm superior at ping pong and I've won all the awards from the time I was a little child. And you don't need all that because it's all in the animation.
Right. Although I should point out, yeah, to anyone listening. So what happened is I just messed up when I encoded this file and the Chinese player just doesn't have subtitles. So we're just inferring what he's saying, which is easy enough to do. But that's not an artistic choice of the show. He's supposed to have subtitles. You know, he's supposed to be saying okay, all that boring, pointless stuff. That was my own fault that he's not. But that does remind me of my friend Brad used to say that that's what he liked sometimes about watching movies on TV back in the day, is that if you miss the first 20 minutes of a movie, you know, if you tune in a little bit late, then you're trying to piece together the movie and it oftentimes makes the movie better. And then you see the full movie later and you're like, oh, they explained all that interesting mystery was all explained in the part that I missed. So yeah, this is just an encoding problem, but it doesn't make the show worse. Because yeah, I agree, like that's the problem, is everything that character would be saying, it's like an AI could have written it. It's just so bland and so boring.
It's like when I told you I watched Grave of the Fireflies without the subtitles. It was completely in Japanese. You didn't need the words translated to get what was going on. And I felt, I'm at the point that, I mean, I will watch that show again, but I won't watch it with subtitles. There's no need of it. It's all right there in the action, the facial expressions. Yeah, it's great. I love that movie. I think what made it so interesting is you had to infer a lot of stuff and say, well, why, what's going on here? What's going on there? And you figure it out. It makes you think rather than having everything just put in front of your face so that you don't think at all. You just watch it.
I think in that case, though, I mean, that is a very interesting way to watch it and definitely a different experience. But I think you would still absolutely like that movie either way that you watched it, because it's good. It is an actual good movie. Where, yeah, in this case, I don't know, like maybe we should just watch the whole thing with the sound off and try to make up our own story, you know, like it reaches a point where it's like, I don't know, it was just weird of like trying to, I was going to say though, that's one thing that's kind of interesting is I've kind of been doing that in real life on this journey where it didn't occur to me while I was in Japan. I always just felt a little guilty that I couldn't speak more Japanese. But then when I got to South Korea, I started to realize that I actually enjoy being illiterate. You know, like I kind of like when you just see a bunch of advertisements on a placemat at a restaurant and you can't read them, or people are chattering all around you and you can't understand it, or the news is on, but you really don't know what's happening. It's like, it's just nice. It's kind of like calm. But yeah, all right. So let's just pop on episode 2 and I'll make more of an effort to pay attention to what's going on. It's the least I can do.
This is terrible. I wish I'd never been born. I can't believe I got skunked. The whole world's laughing at me right now. I know it.
Do me a favor, Peiko, and go home.
Well, episode 2 was more interesting. Had a few little twists and turns and developed that major character a little better.
Yeah, I do think it is just a case on my end, I think, of that I've just seen too many of these shows. Because I just, when I saw the island there, I was like, oh crap, I've been there, Enoshima Island, and it's got this lighthouse on the top called the Sea Candle. But just to make sure, you know, I did a quick little Google of like, I'm quite sure that's where that is because I've been there, just to make sure that it was, and it is. So I found a Reddit thread where somebody was like, oh yeah, crap, Enoshima Island. But also in there, I just think this comment is great because this really kind of sums up things from my side. Because I'll mention again, like I said at the start, this thing is award-winning and stuff, and all of these comments are complimentary. Everybody seems to love this show. But I think it is just that I've seen too many. So this one comment says, what's not to get hyped about? This show has all the awesome stuff I like. And he lists off the stuff. It has a childhood rival / the team ace, which is the Peiko character. It has the mysterious, powerful rival, the China character. It has the unbeatable opponent from a high-end high school, the bald guy. It has middle school rival, the guy who beats Smile in the tournament. Dramatic glasses readjustment, you know, where they adjust their glasses. It's got hidden power levels for the main character. People with strong enough power levels that they can detect the hidden potential of the main character. It's got a badass anti-hero protagonist. Did you see how he manhandled the coach after transforming into a robot? It's got crazy training programs, both for Smile and China. And the visuals are unlike anything else. And yeah, I mean, I'm with him on the visuals. But yeah, the problem is all that stuff that he's listing of all the stuff that he likes in a show, like to me, that is all the blandest, most cliche. Like that's in every single sports manga and anime I've ever seen in my life. There's nothing different about this show.
Sure. It's like Rocky comes to mind. You know, Rocky's the build up, and you know how it's going to end. Any one of those shows, football shows, baseball shows, where the hero has to overcome some adversity of some kind and then wins at the end of the day. Yeah, I agree there. It's pretty blasé in that regard. Typical storyline.
But yeah, and also I guess like the way this guy describes the badass anti-hero protagonist, that also rubs me the wrong way because I can really see that that's how that main character is meant to be interpreted when he's just like pontificating on the train about the best kind of bubblegum to chew and just looks like another hot summer. Like he's just supposed to be cool. But he's not cool. He's a little wiener. He's stuck in his own world of ping pong. He doesn't realize everyone else thinks he's the most boring jerk off in the world. I'd love to see this show from the perspective of like the girls in his class. And they'd be like, that fucking loser. You know? Like, I do not buy that that guy's cool. I'd have to be 12 years old to think that guy was cool.
But there again, if you look at it from the perspective of, let's say, somebody in junior high school or high school, he would be, well, he thinks he's cool, but he would have been cool in those days. There would have been people who would have thought he was cool. When you're looking at it from the perspective of 13 or 14-year-old or even a 15-year-old. Now, when you're looking at it from somebody who's much older, you're like, oh, God, not this again. Been there, done that, seen that. Like, so I could see it being extremely popular with junior high types and even maybe even high school types.
It is sort of surprising to me, though, that it is so well regarded, because I'm not just like opposed to all this stuff. Like, I was thinking of there's a racing manga and anime called Initial D that I know it doesn't seem like ping pong and racing are the same, but literally it could be anything. It could be doing a trapeze act, or it could be, you know, like these shows can, it doesn't matter what they're about. The underlying mechanics are always the same. But Initial D is about the same kind of thing, like a kind of aloof kid who's got an innate talent. In this case, it's for drift racing in the mountains. But that kid is cool, and it is believable that he has these amazing driving abilities because his dad made him do like 4 a.m. tofu delivery runs ever since he was like a young teen when he wasn't supposed to be driving yet. So there's an explanation for why he has many years of experience on all of his friends. He's not just magically excellent at this, and he really is cool. Where this kid in the ping pong club, he's just excellent for no reason, and he's a little dickhead. So yeah, I don't know, man. I don't get it. I do not get why this show. Anyway, especially, I know we said at the start we would not compare it to Ping Pong Club, but holy sweet Lord, I like Ping Pong Club literally a million times better than this show.
Oh, me too. Me too. I enjoyed Ping Pong Club immensely because it had so many underlying little innuendos and little dirty jokes, and it didn't take itself seriously. This is a very serious show. It's a drama, no question. It's no comparison between the two at all.
But to wrap it back around to what I said at the start, the whole reason that I really did want to check it out is I do really like the art style, and I'll definitely give it its flowers for that. I do kind of wish more stuff from Japan had the bravery almost to break out and have its own style, because that's not a common thing. So yeah, 10 out of 10 on the style. Excellent, weird style. I like the style a lot, and I guess, you know, hey, at least I can end on that note. At least I can end on that positive note.
I agree. And I liked how they kind of seamlessly shifted. They would shift back and forth between past and present. And then there was one point there where they were showing the game between the coach and our main star there. And they just kept dividing the screen into little triangles. And you saw reactions of different people all at the same time, rather than just a scene and then switch to a scene and then switch to a scene. By this division and showing everybody in their own little triangle and how they were reacting, you saw all kinds of action going on. That was different. You don't see that often.
I do wonder, though, if some of those people who stumbled upon Ping Pong Club by accident on YouTube, you know, those comments that were like, this isn't what I thought I was clicking on. You know, I'm sure they had to pretend like, oh, that's not a serious show. That's not the award-winning show. But I wonder if deep down they were like, oh, man, no, Ping Pong Club's pretty good. Pretty good compared to my ponderous, inspirational sports ping pong show. But anyway, hey, at least this got us back on track of doing our little TV podcast. So, hey, cheers to you, Ping Pong the Animation. You got us back on our feet.